His Hands and His Feet, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Dear sinner, dear doubter, dear skeptic, see His hands and feet. The forgiveness of my sin lies in the hands and the feet of the crucified and risen Jesus.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift during the Easter season. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us during the 50 days of Easter.
The court definitely sees the problems that the policy of the university poses to force a Bible study group to be led by someone who doesn't believe in the Bible.
There's no reason for a public university or law school to subsidize discrimination.
He takes evil and overcomes evil with good. And if you have any questions about that, you look at Good Friday.
If the government can pass a law saying that you have to have a national day of prayer and the president has to give a proclamation, well, then the government could encourage citizens to fast during Ramadan.
My wife was deposed in that lawsuit not too long ago, but is it going to change anything? Absolutely not.
Florida truck drivers, love issues, etc.
I like the strategy that pro-lifers have been taking legislatively in about the last 10 years or so. The strategy is to maximize protection of women and the unborn through, you could call it incremental legislation that seeks to restrict or regulate abortion. And I think at the same time, instruct the general public about the true nature of abortion as a legal entity in the United States for the last 35 plus years. And there are two new laws in Oklahoma that have overcome the governor's veto that do just that. We're going to be talking about those laws here for the first few minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon, April the 28th. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll spend the first two segments talking about two new abortion laws in Oklahoma, and then we'll spend the rest of today's program talking about effeminate Christianity. Aaron Wolf of Chronicles Magazine will be our guest. You can join us as well for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Email us with questions or comments right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. Joining us to talk about two new abortion laws in Oklahoma, Tony Loinger. He's state chairman of Oklahomans for Life. Tony, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much, Todd. It's great to be with you.
Oklahoma's governor, Brad Henry, said last week when he vetoed these laws, it is unconscionable to grant a physician legal protection to mislead or misinform pregnant women in an effort to impose his or her personal beliefs on the patient. How would you respond to the government's comments there?
Well, the governor made that comment with regard to the wrongful life, wrongful birth law that was just enacted. That is a law which protects disabled babies from discrimination. In our country today, 9 out of every 10 babies diagnosed in utero with Down syndrome are aborted. 90% of Down syndrome babies are aborted when the parents learn about the Down syndrome. And this has come about due to this concept of wrongful life, which places a tremendous burden and pressure on physicians to conduct what former Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop referred to as search and destroy missions, performing tests to try to ascertain whether the baby in the womb is perfect, and if some indication that the baby may have some disability or disease is found, then malpractice insurance pressures can lead to a physician urging a woman to consider abortion. This new law will protect physicians from that coercive effect of malpractice suits that seek to weed out the imperfect among us and lead to eugenic abortions.
Oh, and the other law that has made it into Oklahoma, what is that?
The other, The other law is an ultrasound law. It provides that before an abortion is performed, either the abortion provider, the doctor himself, or a technician working in conjunction with the abortionist shall perform an ultrasound at least an hour ahead of the abortion and turn the ultrasound screen at an angle where the mother may view the images on the screen if she chooses to do so, and at the same time explaining to the mother what is depicted on the screen, the size of the baby, that the law uses the words embryo or fetus, the size, the dimensions, whether any limbs are visible, whether any internal organs are visible on the ultrasound, whether cardiac activity is present and viewable. This is information that it is critically important for a woman to have before she takes the irrevocable, lethal step of having her child killed by abortion. The abortion industry would love to keep the truth from women. They would love to keep pregnant women in the dark about the development of their unborn children. And this bill will provide a window on the womb, an ultrasound that a woman may view if she wishes, which will give her full and complete information that in turn will allow her to give truly informed consent to the abortion ahead of time.
If I were going to a doctor to have, say, my appendix removed, it wasn't an emergency, and the doctor did an ultrasound to determine the status of the organ, I could say, doctor, what are you looking at? Explain it to me. Tell me why it needs to come out. All of these kinds of things. It sounds as though that second law is really nothing more than giving the mother here complete and full information about what she is about to do and undergo.
Todd, that is exactly right. The abortion industry for 3.5 decades in this country has sought to hide the truth from pregnant women and, in fact, to deceive them using euphemisms like a blob of protoplasm or a clump of cells or the products of the uterus to refer to the unborn child. And this new ultrasound law in Oklahoma will require that the doctor be honest with the mother in advance and tell her about the child in the ultrasound image, and that in turn will not only spare, we hope, many unborn children their very lives, but will also spare women the psychological trauma and the emotional anguish that many women experience for the rest of their lives following abortion. This is information that a woman is going to learn someday. She'll either see an ultrasound on a friend's refrigerator or see an ultrasound on television. And if this is information that is denied her when it can actually influence her decision and have an impact on the course of events, if she's denied it when it could still do her some good and learns it later, the psychological effect can be devastating.
I guess I'm wondering if the abortion industry has been welcoming of the technology itself, ultrasound technology, into their clinics. Your thoughts there with about a minute.
That's a very good question. The abortion facility that filed the lawsuit yesterday says right in their petition to the court that they perform ultrasounds on every single woman seeking an abortion at their facility. They already do the ultrasounds, and they use one of two ultrasound methods, whichever will show the baby more clearly at that particular stage of pregnancy. And so this doesn't require an unnecessary step in the process. All it requires is that they turn the screen at an angle where the mother may view the image on the ultrasound screen and will hear the explanation of the baby who is depicted there.
How discouraged were you when the governor vetoed these bills?
Well, not overly, because we have a wonderful legislature, and we felt that we would be able either to override his veto or to to get the language enacted in some way. There's a strong pro-life sentiment in our state, and we have wonderful state legislators, and there was a great determination to see this this bill finally become law and provide the truth to women that they so badly need and so much deserve prior to taking this irrevocable step.
Finally, then, with about 30 seconds, what can the rest of us outside Oklahoma learn from the passage of these two laws?
Well, we hope that these laws will be enacted in other states as well. Oklahomans for Life, our organization, is affiliated with the National Right to Life Committee, and the National Right to Life was tremendously helpful to us in the drafting of this language and in the legal advice, and we hope that many other states will enact similar legislation so that women may have the benefit of lethal step.
Tony Loinger is state chairman of Oklahomans for Life. Tony, thank you very much for your time, and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much, Todd. Great to be with you.
We will be posting a link to Oklahomans for Life at issuesetc.org. When we come back, Aaron Wolf is going to join us from Chronicles Magazine. He's written a very interesting article titled Effeminate Gospel, Effeminate Christians. This is something that we've been watching here on Issues Etc. for the better part of the last decade, the feminization of Christianity. I prefer the term the emasculization of Christianity. Along with it goes kind of the emasculization of Christ himself. We'll talk about some of the symptoms of an effeminate Christianity with Aaron Wolf on the other side of the break. I do invite your questions and your comments on this subject. I know everybody's got an opinion. We're coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon, 28th of April. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or email us, talkback at issuesetc.org. Aaron Wolf, after this.
You can call it what you like, I call it
Do you find the book of Revelation to be discomforting, discouraging, and downright difficult? Well, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is a lay-friendly commentary on Revelation. It's titled Concordia Popular Commentary, Revelation. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Concordia Popular Commentary, Revelation by Dr. Lewis Brighton. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.